Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I was at the grocery store a couple days ago, and the lady directly in front of me, she had a shopping cart full of stuff. I mean, it was full. I mean, it was actually overflowing. All kinds of stuff. And she happened to mention to the cashier, "Yeah, I'm getting all this stuff. We're going camping, you know, this Memorial Day weekend." And I thought to myself, well, you're not going to really be roughing it, are you? You're just basically taking the whole kitchen with you. But I want for us in these next couple weeks to camp out here in Matthew chapter 5. I've really been drawn specifically to the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5. You know, the older I get, the more I hang on every single word of Jesus. Every word that's recorded for us, preserved for us in the Gospels of Jesus, just becomes more important, more precious to me the older I get. And Jesus speaks some pretty important words here in Matthew chapter 5 that I just want for us to camp out here in the next couple of weeks, specifically in verse 16, as I want this for us to be an emphasis in these next couple of weeks and really reflect and think about what Jesus is saying here. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. Heavenly Father, give us insight and understanding and direction when it comes to these words of Jesus. Help us to really embrace these words, to take them to heart, to wrestle with it, to apply it to our lives, so that we can live to our full potential as God intends for us. Help us, Lord, to better understand what Jesus means here when he speaks to all of his followers about this light that he wishes to shine through each of us. And all God's people said, amen. So this right here is a light stand. Jesus tells us to let our light shine. Well, in order to let our light shine, there has to be a light. And last week on Pentecost Sunday, I tried to lay the biblical and theological foundation for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That as the Holy Spirit rests upon us, indwells us, fills us, as God himself fills us, one of the byproducts of that is that we are filled with divine light, the light of God. And so, if there is no light here, something's wrong. God wants to fill us with himself. And so, we can put a light here. Nice little light. This is a 15-watt bulb. And voila, light. Now I look at that, and then I think of the words of Jesus. I don't think when Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others," he said it in a mousy voice. This is a tiny little light, you know. I can't imagine Jesus preaching his Sermon on the Mount in a little mousy voice. "Let your light shine." I just don't picture Jesus preaching in a little mousy voice, "Let your light shine before men." I just don't hear him saying that, okay? What I do picture and imagine Jesus saying with a bold, deep, divine voice is, "Let your light shine before men. Don't hide it. Don't be embarrassed of it. Let your light shine." I love it. We are to shine bright. This, not little light of mine, this bright light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. As I've been thinking about these words of Jesus and his call for us to radiate his divine light, is Jesus says, "Let your light shine." The way God designed you and created you and built you, your light may be different than my light because we're different people. One of the interesting things that has happened in recent years is the development of understanding personality differences between persons, especially in the church. I think sometimes in the past, we kind of lump everybody together in the same pool, and we expect everyone to act the same, and we expected everyone to be the same, and that's not true. God created us distinct and different, and as we understand more the science behind our personalities and the psychoanalytic and the psychodynamic personalities that are inherent with each of us, it will help us understand how God wants our light to shine. For example, this is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And it's a very important time in our country where we stop and we reflect on those men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy. There are things that we can say that can be true of everybody who gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. These men and women who died protecting our freedoms, we can say all of them exhibited courage and bravery and selflessness and self-sacrifice. These are qualities that are beautiful, and this is why we take a day in our country to remember these men and women who exhibited these amazing qualities so that we can live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. But if we had the opportunity to get to know individually each one of these men and women who had died, beyond some of the general characteristics that I just mentioned, we would begin to see that each person, each man, each woman was distinct in their own personality. They had their own likes, their dislikes. They had strengths, they had weaknesses. They were different in their own unique way. And that's one of the things that we really can't know about each single man and woman who perished in service to their country because we didn't know them. But had we known them, we would, I believe, even come to appreciate them even more than we do in just the broad general terms of remembering them on Memorial Day. Or take God, for example. One God, but three distinct persons. Today is Trinity Sunday. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Today is Trinity Sunday, where we celebrate the triune God. We are a Trinitarian people. Our faith is built around the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, but three distinct persons, three distinct personalities. Now, the triune God, with his three personalities so beautifully harmonized and have a magnificent divine beauty about them that we don't see anywhere else in the created order, But as we get to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we see that He's one, but three distinct personalities. And the same is true of us. We are humans, and so there's, in general terms, you know, we all bleed the same color blood, we breathe the same air, and yet as we get to know each other on an individual basis, we are distinct, we are different. And we need to understand and celebrate the differences that make us unique. And so, in general terms, as we look at personality traits, we look at what drives us, in general terms, all people can fit into four basic categories. And this is what I want to talk about in the next couple of weeks, looking at each one of these four basic personality traits. Because as we understand ourselves better and how God created us, we then can let our light shine the way Jesus asked us to shine, the way He designed us. And if you are not one of these personality traits, what this series will hopefully do is help you understand others who may be different from you and what makes them tick and what makes them drive, so that we can be more understanding and tolerant and appreciative of how different they are from us. One of the things I think that is a major cause in most churches, it had been in this church, it's not anymore, but one of the major issues in churches is that we don't really understand or appreciate how different we are from each other. And I think if we begin to understand how God has created us differently, we can be more tolerant and forgiving and understanding that, you know, I'm different from Gene, and that's okay. He's wired differently than me. I'm different than Kay. And as we begin to understand each other's differences, we can live in harmony together. And so, when we talk about different personality styles, there's four basic distinct personality profiles that each one of us fit into. Now, it's not set in stone that, you know, you are this type of personality, but you don't exhibit traits in other personality traits. That's not true, because, you know, we're not robots. We are human beings with feelings and emotions. And so, yes, I may have a dominant personality style, but on some days, given the circumstances or the situation that I'm in, I may exhibit symptoms of other personality traits. Take this for example. You could have the most mild-mannered mother, for example, and she's laid back, and she is, you know, easygoing, but if one of her kids was ever in danger, oh, that mama bear comes out, right? And she's a totally different person. And so you may fit into one of these four, and you will fit into one of these four major personality categories, but they can overlap given the situation, the circumstances that you're in, and you may begin to see traits of some of all these personality traits in your dominant personality. This will make more sense as we proceed. But basically, the four major personality traits are what I'm calling the director, the dancer, the detailer, and the driver. Today we're going to look at the director. The director. This is one of the four major personality traits. Sometimes this person is known as having a type A personality. Type A personality people love to be in charge. They love to be in control of their environment. They love to be in control of the situation. They are normally not very detailed. They would tend to delegate responsibilities to others. They're very goal-oriented and very practical in their solutions. They want to achieve their goal by no-nonsense, a bottom-line approach. This is the director. They are in charge. They are in control. They are driven to no end. That may be you. Or there may be times in your life where you exhibit these qualities. There's something important that needs to be done, and you are laser focused, and it needs to be done. If this person was a cartoon character, this person would be Lucy in Charlie Brown, right? Wasn't she the bossy one? Bossing Charlie Brown, no nonsense, straight to the point, no mincing words. She is the typical director. If this person was a biblical character, this person would be the Apostle Paul. Driven. His goal was to get the gospel out. I mean, he said, for example, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, I'm the man because I'm following the man. And he was driven. And he would go, and God used him, and his light shined bright. And he would go and start churches and start ministries and just a go-getter for Christ. Now, here's the thing about the Apostle Paul. He used to be Saul. And before God got a hold of his personality, his personhood was used for evil, for destruction. I mean, he was intent on destroying Christians and the church. That's the danger of a director, a type A personality, whose life is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. They can do real damage. Take Adolf Hitler, for example. Here's a man who did tremendous, tremendous damage to humanity because his life was not surrendered to God. And so a person like this, unless they are fully submitted to God, can do real damage and real harm. But as Saul was converted to Paul, God used his personality. Whereas once it was used for evil and destruction, God used his personality to spread the gospel as no evangelist ever has in the history of Christianity. What are some of the strengths of the director? This person loves to embrace change. They are open to change. And they like to try new things. They are a take charge kind of person. They are fast paced, nonstop. It's hard for them to slow down. They are entrepreneurial. They have a direct management style. They are ambitious. They work well independently. They are passionate. They demand maximum freedom. They are dominant in their personality. They have good administrative skills, generally. They are highly competitive. You don't want to get in a competition with them because if they lose, they're going to demand a rematch. They have good delegation skills, and they are very good at multitasking. Those are some of the strengths of a director. And Jesus is saying, if you have these traits, let your light shine for me and for the cause of the gospel. What are some of the weaknesses of this type of personality? Because we all have weaknesses. We do. We all have blind spots. And one of the weaknesses of the director is that it's hard for them to see their blind spots. And so they have to be very, very careful about that. They need to surround themselves with people who are not afraid of their dominant personality and will help them point out areas of weakness. Some of the weaknesses of the director personality is they can be stubborn, hard-headed, thick-skulled, because they're so focused, they're so directed. They can be a workaholic. It's hard for them to slow down. They can be impatient. They can be abrupt, rough around the edges. They can be tough and demanding. They can become easily angered. Simple things can set them off. Because if they feel like they're being derailed from their goal, their purpose, they can be very easily upset. They can come across as insensitive. They can be ill-tempered, short-fused, intolerant, and domineering. As a matter of fact, one of the negative traits of the director is that they can be the dictator. And they have to be very careful about that. What motivates this kind of person? Well, for the worldly person. It can be money. It could be greed. It could be opportunity. It could be the desire for more freedom and independence. They are drawn to challenges, so they complete one challenge and they want to move on to the next challenge. There's a sense of urgency. They are driven by success and accolade and leadership. What are some of the common phrases of the director? They love phrases like, let's get it done. They want to get it done. They want fast, fast and furious. They want results, and they want results right away. Immediate, now, today. Again, one of their weaknesses is patience. They want the bottom line. They want the newest, the best, the most cutting edge to help them achieve their goals. And they want a return on their investment. What are some of the turnoffs of the director? What are things that they shy away from? Touchy-feely emotions. That does nothing for them. They don't want long explanations. They just want the bottom line. They don't like things explained to them in emotional terms because they shy away from that. They shy away from what may appear to be soft or vulnerable. They hate falling into routines. They hate being taken advantage of, and they hate losing. What types of jobs are these people drawn to? Well, president, contractors, salespeople, business owners, politicians, entrepreneurs, military or police, managers or executives. What does this personality type look like at work? Well, they're goal-oriented. They take risks. They are good under pressure. They thrive in stressful situations. But they don't like a lot of restraints placed on them. They prefer to work independently or on their own schedule. And since they are workaholics, they tend to put everything else to the side until they accomplish their goals. They may seem impatient at times, especially if they believe someone is spending too much time on frivolous details or holding them back from being successful. I think you get the idea of the director-type personality. If this is you, Jesus is saying to you, that's okay, this is who you are. These are the kinds of people who make the world go. They make the church go. Allow your personality to come under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, just as the Apostle Paul did. And with all these incredible gifts, and even with these weaknesses that this type of personality has, Jesus is saying, let your light shine. Not for your glory, not for your success, not for your accolades, not for the praises of people, but if you are the director type personality and you are driven to the max, be this way, but let your light shine for the glory of God. Shine and live and be the way that I created you to be for my kingdom and for my glory. As a pastor, my job is to help guide them in the way that Jesus' light would shine through them so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. And if this is you, let your light shine. Don't shy away from who God created you to be. Let your light shine for the glory of God. In the next couple weeks, we're going to look at the other three personality traits: the dancer, the detailer, and the driver. Very different, and yet God created us this way. And so my goal is, learn about yourself. Continue to learn how God has knitted you and crafted you and created you. And don't shy away from who you are. Don't apologize for who you are. This is who God made you to be. And just flourish in this way and let your light shine for him. Take these hymnals here and turn to 306. We recited this hymn last Sunday, and I want to close again with it this Sunday. As we ask God's Holy Spirit to shine through us. And this is my prayer, and I hope this is your prayer as well. 306, Holy Spirit, light divine. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn my darkness into day. Holy Spirit, power divine, cleanse this guilty heart of mine. Long hath sin without control held dominion over my soul. Holy Spirit, joy divine, cheer this saddened heart of mine. Bid my many woes depart. Heal my wounded, bleeding heart. Holy Spirit, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idol throne. Reign supreme and reign alone. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Amen? Jesus says, let your light shine. Embrace your personality. Embrace who you are. Don't hide your light. Don't be ashamed of who you are. But let God shine through you, through your personalities, through your strengths, even through your weaknesses. And just let the light of Jesus shine. Almighty God, help us to understand ourselves and others. You created us uniquely. You created us with strengths, but we also all have weaknesses. You knitted us exactly how you intended for us to be. We all have different personality traits and gifts and strengths and weaknesses. But as we come to better understand ourselves and each other, your prayer for us is that we may let your light shine through us.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.